So in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, we read, "And after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to the feast. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda." Bethesda. Just a few months ago, we were standing right here at this pool with its five porches. It's so amazing that we can read something in the Bible and then go to Israel and stand in the very place that the story happened. And it just blesses me. A trip to Israel is like a Bible study time. It's like a personal growth time. And it's also a reminder that our faith is not just grounded in somebody having a vision under a tree or in a cave. Our faith is founded in history and places and facts and archaeology, and it's just exciting. Anyway, back at the Jerusalem sheep gate, the pool, in the Hebrew called Bethesda, having five porches. Now in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool, stirred up the water, and whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man in the midst of this great multitude. How many know that all great multitudes are made up of individual certain people? A certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. That's a long time. Yeah. I wonder if there's anybody here in the room this morning that's 38 years old. Is there? Okay. No, nobody. Everybody's younger than that in this house. Okay. So Melbourne, that's got to be you guys, right? Somebody there. 38 years is a lifetime. And so here he is in this condition for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had been in that condition a long time. And Jesus said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" And the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man. I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And of course, Jesus had to do this on the Sabbath. My commentary. Do you want to be made well? "Oh, sir, I have no man." I like the New Living Translation. He said, "I can't, sir. Do you want to be made well?" Verse 7, he said, "I can't, sir, for I have no one to help me. I have no one to help me." 38 years. Broken, desperate, despairing, powerless, hopeless, and by his own words, helpless. Yes, I want to be made well. Yes, I want to live. Yes, I want to have a life. I am a human being. I want my life to be more than this porch, these five porches. I want my life to be more than the changing of a position for 38 years. Yes, but I have no one. I have no man. I have no one to help me. Helpless is a terrible state. Yeah. Helpless is a dreadful thing. Helpless is a horrible condition or situation. To be helpless, to have no one to help when we are in need, it just makes us so vulnerable. Yeah. It makes us so exposed, so defenseless, so susceptible, so unprotected, so uncovered. I have no one. I have no man. Someone has said, whenever God has a plan, he looks for a man. And of course, sometimes the best man God can find is a woman. As a matter of fact, I love the founder, William Booth, of the Salvation Army said. He said, my best men are women. And so obviously we're not having a gender talk today, because when we say man, we mean person, a woman, and a man together. But whenever God has a plan, because how does God ever fulfill a plan? He looks for a man, a woman. In Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30, even God says, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, so that I would not destroy it. And then God says, but I found no one. Even God said, I have no man. I'm looking for a man to stand in the gap, to not let the enemy come through, to make up the hedge, and I'm looking for an intercessor. And God says, but I found no one. And then yet we come to Isaiah, or for our friends in Phoenix, Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. And in my heart, it is Isaiah, but I've lived in Australia. This is my fourth decade, so now it's Isaiah. Verse 8 of chapter 6, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, the voice of the Lord was saying something, and I heard it. And here's what he was saying. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. Send me. Send me. Isaiah said, Lord, I'll be your man. Lord, I'll be your hand. Lord, I'll go in your plan. Because God uses men and women for his plan and for his purposes. And so on this Mission Sunday morning, the question is, who will be the man? Who will be the man for the man who has no man? Who will be the one for the one who has no one? We read in Job chapter 30 and verse 25. I used to just think Job was the most depressing book in the Bible. I just used to endure it and get through it and try to get to those last few verses where everything works out for Job. But I have found that the book of Job is rich. It's just incredibly rich. And as you look deep in there, you'll see the character of Job. And this is what we read from Job, his own testimony, his own words in chapter 30 and verse 25. Job said, have I not wept for him who was in trouble? Has not my soul grieved for the poor? In the previous chapter, he says this in 29 and verse 12. I delivered the poor who cried out, the fatherless, and the one who had no helper. Wow. I was there for the one who had no one. Yeah. He even says this, and I've spoke on this before, and I just love this passage. It's one of my favorite passages now in the whole Bible. Job said this, the blessing of a perishing man came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and like a turban. He said, I was eyes to the blind. I was feet to the lame. I was a father to the fatherless. I searched out the case that I did not know. I broke the fangs of the wicked and I plucked the victim from his teeth. Job! You are the man. Job was the man. And you read it from the Message Bible, it sounds like this. I was known for helping people in trouble and standing up for those who were down on their luck. The dying blessed me, and the bereaved were cheered by my visits. All my dealings with people were good. I was known for being fair to everyone I met. I was eyes to the blind. I was feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy, and a champion of abused aliens. That man at the pool looks up at Jesus. He says, "Sir, I have no man. I have no one to help me." We must remember on this Mission Sunday, on this Mandate Sunday, that you and I are to be the man. We must be the helper to the helpless. And do you know what God said about Job? In chapter 1 and verse 8, this is what God said. This is what Jehovah God, Yahweh, Elohim, this is what God Almighty decreed out of his own mouth, out of his words about Job. This is what God said to Job. He said, "Job is the finest man on the face of the earth." God said, "Job, you the man." In Psalm chapter 10 and verse 17, "Lord, you know the hopes of the helpless." How many know the helpless have hopes? How many of those in dire situations have dreams beyond those dire situations? "Lord, you know the hopes of the helpless. Surely you will listen to their cries and comfort them. You will bring justice to the orphans and the oppressed so people can no longer terrify them, Lord." The message reads this way: "The victim's faint pulse picks up. The hearts of the hopeless pump red blood as you put your ear to their lips. Orphans get parents. The homeless get homes. The reign of terror is over. The rule of gang lords is ended." Well, my question is, how does God do that? How does the Lord listen to the cries of the helpless and comfort them? How does he bring justice to orphans and the oppressed? How does he do this? How does he stop the reign of terror and get homes to the homeless? Well, he looks for a man. He looks for a person. He looks for a church that is outward in its focus and has a heart for others. He looks for someone, as we heard in our offering talk this morning, like Amanda Douglas's grandfather. While she was speaking of him today, I thought, he's the man. He's the man. How does God meet the need? How does God hear the hopes of the helpless? Through a man, through a woman, through a person, through a church, through people that have a heart that's got more room in it than just for themselves, a heart that's big enough to have room for other people inside of it. Paul said to Timothy Philippians chapter 2, 20, he says of Timothy, he says this: "For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state." Really, Paul, why is that? Well, here's why: "For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus." New Living Translation: "I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. All the others care only for themselves and not for what matters to Jesus Christ." What matters to Jesus Christ? What matters today to Jesus Christ? Paul said only Timothy goes there. And so when God is looking for a man, the field is not all that great, because there are just not that many who will live a life for others. What matters to Jesus must matter to me. See, I'm just satisfied that what matters to me matters to Jesus. Oh, Lord, there's this and there's this, and then I want to get that and I want to do that. And Lord, all I'm happy about knowing is that what matters to me matters to you. How many think we may have that backwards? That may be backwards. It's not what matters to me matters to Jesus. What's important is that what matters to Jesus matters to me. What matters to him must matter to us. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, if you are a follower of Christ Jesus, it makes no difference whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised. All that matters is your faith that makes you love others. All that matters is your faith that makes you love others. Amplified version, for if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. This is what matters. This is what matters to Jesus. If your faith this morning is activated and energized and expressed and working because of your love for others, then you're the man. Then you're the man. Paul said, I have no one like Timothy. All others care only for themselves. Yeah. Family, you cannot be the man when you care only about yourself. Yeah. Yeah. To be the man, you have to have a reach beyond yourself, an outreach beyond yourself in love, in faith, and in focus for others. Sir, he said, I have no man reaching out beyond himself to love me. Sir, I have no man focused or concerned about my condition of 38 years. Yeah. Sir, I have no man who loves me. You see, true religion is about being the man. And James makes it clear, chapter 1 and verse 27, real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: reach out to the homeless and loveless in their plight, and guard against corruption from the godless world. Our mission, family, is to be the man in giving. Our mission is to be the man in going. Our mission is to be the man in proclaiming the kingdom of God, and that there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath its flood lose all their guilty stains. Our mission is to serve and to help and to lift and to carry and to preach the good news to others. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 17, learn to do good. Work for justice. Help the down and out. Stand up for the homeless and go to bat for the defenseless. In other words, be the man. Be the man for the man that has no man. In other words, be the one for the one that has no one. The Lord has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does he require of you? Come on, you can say it with me. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly before our God. And then I think of my state. I think of my situation. This man laid there 38 years because he had no man to get him into a place of wholeness. And I think of my situation, separated from God. I could never get myself to God on my own merit, on my own goodness. I could never save myself and make myself right in God's eyes if I lived 1,000 lifetimes to try to do good in. And yet, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, says, for when we were still without strength, like that man at the pool of Bethesda. Yeah. Yeah. Danny, we were like him. We were like him. Yeah. We couldn't help ourselves. Yeah. For when we were still without strength, with no one to help, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. The New Living says it this way. For when we were utterly helpless, that's the state we started in a few moments ago as I began this talk, to be utterly helpless like this man was. But now the Bible's not talking about that man. The Bible's talking about this man. The Bible's talking about all of us here. But when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Utterly helpless, Christ came. Jesus became the man for us. Jesus became the one for us. Jesus became the man who gave his life to save all men. Why would we do missions? Why would we want to be the man for the man who has no man? Because that's what Jesus Christ has done for you and me. He is the man that has brought us into a place of open space with God, friendship and fellowship in the family of God, given us eternal life, given us purpose, called us to himself, forgiven, washed, blood-bought, grace-filled, blessed in every way, blessed in every way. Jesus has become the man for us. Do you have a problem this morning? Do you have a situation this morning? Do you have a circumstance this morning? You can go to the man. Because he's the man, and he's there for us. Jesus is the man. He is our Savior. He is the God-man. He is our Savior. And so we do missions out of a gratitude. We become the man for the man who has no man, because Jesus became the man for you and for me. Sir, do I want to be well? Oh my goodness, sir. For 37 years, I've had no one help me. No one care for me. No one love me. Probably no one has ever even spoke to me like you're speaking to me right now. Rise up, Jesus said. Stand. Take your bed. Get on with your life. I'm here to help you.